MPs will today decide whether to use an emergency act of direct rule to liberalise Northern Ireland's abortion laws and, of course, to introduce gay marriage. Let's speak to our political correspondent, Enda McClafferty. Good morning to you, Enda.
Morning, Vinny.
The Northern Ireland Executive Formation Bill is, of course, designed to keep the government in Northern Ireland, so to speak, ticking over while the devolved executive remains absent. And it also allows amendments to be put forward. What do you think is going to happen next? And what has been happening, Enda?
Well, essentially, Vinny, this was, in the eyes of Karen Bradley, a simple piece of legislation, a cut-and-paste job, if you like, to take one date out and to replace it with another date, which would have eased the legal pressure on her to call an assembly election, because as things stand right now, she is duty-bound or legally bound to do that around the 25th of August, that's next month. So Karen Bradley wants that date changed to October, with the added possibility of extending it further to January. So, as far as she was concerned, this was a straightforward matter. They tried to think that they could fast-track it through Parliament, but of course other MPs had a different idea. And because very little legislation, Vinny, is going through Westminster right now, others seized upon this, the fact that they saw this opportunity, if you like, to put a bit of extra pressure on the government, to put other issues on the table, and then in the hope that they get selected by the Speaker today and they're voted on later this evening. Now, we know the issues because they've been talked about over the course of the past 2 days. We had a debate in the chamber last night, Vinny, that went up until almost 10 o'clock. It's due to resume again today. And the big issues that have been raised, and they have been put forward as amendments around, as you say, same-sex marriage, reform of abortion law in Northern Ireland. There's also an amendment in there talking about pensions for victims of and survivors of the Troubles, compensation payments for HIA victims, and also talking about the statute of limitations, which some Tory backbenchers would like to see extended to military veterans. So there's an awful lot of issues there, if you like, on the periphery of this particular bill, and it's up to the Speaker today to decide if any of them will be put firmly on the agenda.
What does it mean then, in that we like to talk timeframes, of course, always on this programme, but in the short term for the Northern Ireland Executive?
Well, the interesting one to look out for today are those amendments that call for legislative change. Conor McGinn, for instance, the Labour MP, has an amendment down which would essentially say, if approved and passed by Parliament today, that if there is no agreement between the parties by the 21st of October, then same-sex marriage would be legalised here in Northern Ireland. There are similar bills and amendments in there as well around changing the laws on abortion and also in relation to pension payouts. But the key thing here, Vinny, is that the scope of this bill is very narrow, and the Speaker, whenever he sits down to look at what amendments are relevant and what are not relevant, he may well deem that any amendment that involves a change in legislation is outside the scope of this particular bill. And that's why we see other Labour frontbench and backbench MPs have tabled a whole series of other amendments, which on one hand calls for legislative change, but then other amendments sitting alongside them, which essentially call for a progress report from government on many of these key issues. And it's likely that if the Speaker is going to go for any of the amendments, he will go for those, because all they will lead to is more debate in the chamber on these other issues, a vote later this evening, but no change when it comes to legislation.
You mentioned yourself, Enda, that this was debated in the Commons last night. I imagine some lively exchanges.
Yes, exchanges not least between the DUP and indeed Simon Hoare, who is the new chair of the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee, Conservative MP, whenever he got to his feet and talked about the fallout from the ongoing stalemate at Stormont with Brexit coming down the track. He flagged up the possibility and the growing demand he said there would be for a border poll. And whenever he said that he wasn't convinced that unionists would win that border poll, it drew an angry reaction indeed from the DUP benches. Many of them shouted across the floor at him. Nigel Dodds then got to his feet and said it was a pretty depressing assessment he had offered. Ian Paisley then also had a pop at Simon Hoare, saying that what he was saying amounted to nonsense, essentially. So you could see the tension, underlying tension within the chamber last night, particularly around issues governing the border patrol and the future of the union, or the border poll, I should say, and the future of the union. And then, of course, we had all the parties talking about what the stalemate at Stormont means in practice. practice in terms of all those big issues around health and education not being addressed. The DUP, as you would expect, had a pop at Sinn Féin, the fact that they don't take their seats at Westminster, and at the minute nobody's taking their seats at Stormont, and they blamed Sinn Féin for that. Of course, Sinn Féin have a very different take on that. And then there was the added complication then of all these other amendments around the fringes on same-sex marriage, on abortion law reform. They were all mentioned yesterday, and many of those who are putting those forward are hoping today that shortly after 12 o'clock the Speaker will tick the box in a sense and put their amendment forward to be debated later today. But the big focus, Vinnie, it has to be said, across the water in London right now is not on some of those issues which essentially are contentious here in Northern Ireland, but on an amendment by Dominic Grieve, the former Attorney General, because what he has tabled, in a sense, is a bit of a political manoeuvre to try and stop the next Prime Minister from setting Parliament aside to try and get a no-deal Brexit over the line. The term's called proroguing. It's essentially, if you like, discontinuing Parliament without dissolving it. And he's worried that the next PM might do that. So in an attempt to head that threat off at the pass, he has tabled an amendment today which would require the government to come back with fortnightly reports on the stalemate at Stormont, in a sense, to keep ministers coming back before the House all the way up until October. So if you like, the House would have to remain sitting all the way through that period. So there'd be no opportunity, if you like, to set Parliament aside to get the no deal over the line. And the interesting thing is there's some suggestion today Theresa May allow a free vote on that, which would, in a sense, if it did get selected by the Speaker and get approved by Parliament, tie the hands of the next Prime Minister.
Enda McLafferty, our political correspondent, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Let's speak now to the newsletter's Sam McBride. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Vinnie.
Let's go back to the issue of the possible changes in abortion laws and equal marriage here. If that did happen, I know we're talking hypothetical, could the law be changed down the line, for example, if the Assembly was up and running, could they reverse that decision?
Yes is the short answer, but it would be more difficult, I think, for the DUP if they were the people who wanted to do that, and it would be a huge political calculation to try to untangle something which had already happened rather than keeping the status quo. There would be the obstacle of getting over the potential for a veto by other parties of that move, so it would not be as straightforward as it may be at this point to retain where things are at the present. The other thing is that after 2007, where there had been some other changes to gay rights law and some wider equality law, which the DUP had opposed, they did not take the stance that Stormont should then try to go back and re-legislate on those issues. They tried to move on from there. So I'm really not sure that that's where they would go. I think if this was to go through Westminster, that would probably be that. And one of the interesting elements of this is that the way that one of these amendments by Conor McGinn, who is from Northern Ireland but is a Labour MP from the north of England, he has tabled one of these amendments trying to legalise gay marriage in Northern Ireland. And I think it's been quite cleverly drafted, because what he has said is that that will happen. Same-sex marriage will become lawful in Northern Ireland in October unless the Northern Ireland Assembly has been reconstituted by then. So that, I think, gives something of a carrot and a stick to the DUP leadership, potentially, to some of their less willing members who were not prepared to compromise on things like the Irish language, but maybe do care very passionately for religious reasons or for whatever other reasons about this issue. They might say, well, if you don't compromise on this by October, this is what's going to happen. That would just slightly change the dynamic. I'm not sure it would be transformative, but it might be helpful to some people in the DUP leadership.
We've mentioned already MP, so they're debating this legislation that could allow the NIO to extend its legal power and delay that fresh election, that obligation to call until October, and then that could be pushed further to January. What about beyond there? I'm almost afraid to ask, but what could happen beyond there?
I think the honest answer is that nobody knows, for the main reason that Karen Bradley is very unlikely to be the Secretary of State by that stage. So this is probably her last substantive contribution, unless there's some huge upset, unless Jeremy Hunt is to win in the Tory leadership contest. And even then, there's no guarantee that he would keep her on as Northern Ireland Secretary, given how deeply unpopular she has become in Northern Ireland, and she doesn't really, it would seem, have any great respect at Westminster either. So therefore, I think this is her plan. This is her final foray into this area. Someone else will be coming in, and it may be that a new Tory Secretary of State takes the view that actually having a Stormont election is not such a bad thing, that having a Stormont election might be the sort of thing, especially if it's not until early next year, say springtime of 2020, that it's something which could either shake things up in terms of the Stormont arithmetic, or it's something which, if there is a deal between the DUP and Sinn Féin, if it is put to the people in a vote, that gives it a certain legitimacy. It gives it a democratic mandate of its own, if you like. And that is what happened in 2007 after St Andrews. There was an election, and that is something which the DUP then used as a mandate to go back to go into government for the first time with Sinn Féin. So I think that this is what Karen Bradley is doing. She's pushing the problem down the road for her successor. But I think it's very difficult to know just where it goes after that, because she's unlikely to be the person there.
Would it make it easier in some way for the DUP if these decisions were taken out of their hands? So if some of these amendments, these changes to law came through, but they could say, well, look, it wasn't us.
That is what some people in the DUP think, and have thought for a long time. They have thought if we could just get something like gay marriage or abortion reform just off the table, that would simplify things. We could move on. We could deal with things that we want to do, and we actually want to do to change things that aren't as controversial in either Northern Ireland or in Westminster. I think other people in the DUP take a slightly different view, and some people have moved between these views, and they think that actually these are the current issues, which are touchstone issues, if you like, social issues, major global debates, which Northern Ireland is belatedly, I suppose, catching up on. But this will not resolve these issues. There will be further votes. There will be further gay rights law. There will be further abortion law, perhaps. Maybe there will be law about some other issue. And that if the DUP is fundamentally a pretty traditional, small-c conservative party, it is always going to be on one side of these debates, and so they're not going to be resolved. Wider issue for the DUP is, do they move to a free vote on these sorts of issues, which would in a longer-term way resolve it, because you could be a member of the DUP and have a more liberal stance on issues like gay rights, or do they just say, no, this is what we are, we believe in this, and if you don't like this, don't join the DUP.
Just finally, Sam, Karen Bradley told the Commons that the bill would give the Stormont parties more time and space to reach a deal, and she said that it was a huge disappointment that after 10 weeks of negotiation, no agreement had been reached. What are you hearing about what has been happening in the talks in recent weeks?
Well, the fact that the talks are still going on, the fact that, maybe not literally going on today, but they haven't collapsed, nobody has walked out, that in itself, I suppose, is some sort of limited progress.
It's quite cynical progress, is it, Sam?
Well,
no one's walked out. No one has decided to throw the towel in.
I think that the murder of Lyra McKee, the reaction to Father Martin McGill's comment, really did transform the political situation, because from that point on, I think there was a big political price for parties to pay from walking out. So prior to that, we had seen Sinn Féin say at one point that really they didn't think there was any point going back into the talks unless there was a different attitude from the DUP. And there was no real price for them to pay for that. That wasn't unpopular with their voters. I think after the murder, after the election results, where there was a swing away from the big parties, I think that was something which was a shot across their bows. But I think it'll be a big surprise if there's a breakthrough before we get the RHI report.
Okay, Sam McBride, thank you very much. Jared and Enniskillen, go ahead. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny. Really, a couple months back ago, I said to Stephen that this would happen, that the government, the British government, would make the decision, so they wouldn't have to make it. Now, there's a way out of this. All I should say, let the people of Northern Ireland decide whether we should have abortion and gay rights.
So do you want a referendum?
Why not? They had it in the Republic.
Okay, well, you know, it's a discussion we've had before on the programme, Jared, and I'm sure it's something that we'll have again.